listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Cobos Q in Edo. This is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bee remote out at Cobos Q, 2012 Rusk, just right in the heart of Edo, just a few blocks away from Minute Maid Park, looking for a spot to hang out before the game, after the game, during the game, because they have Apple TV. This is the spot to be, Cobos Q, 2012 Rusk. So yesterday during the show, we get Shams tweeting, we get Woj tweeting, first name basis for the two of them, that Kevin Durant wants out. He no longer wants to be a Brooklyn Net, that he requested a trade, and it looks like Sean Marks is going to give him what he wants. It looks like the Nets are going to move on from Kevin Durant. There's been some rumors on where he wants to go. I've seen Phoenix as like the leading favorite in Vegas. I've seen the Lakers perhaps wanting both of them. I've seen rumors about Russell Westbrook, the Horton Tucker kid, and a first-rounder going to Brooklyn for just Kyrie Irving. Which is pretty fascinating as well. But looks like Kevin Durant's not going to be a Brooklyn Net next year, and where he goes up in the air right now, but a lot of very interesting scenarios, and then, of course, the ramifications of what it means for the Rockets.
Yeah, obviously Rockets fans are hyper-interested in how this all shakes out. Woj said this morning that he expected both of them to be traded. And I think that the only thing that could change that would be we don't know how and what the communication has been between Kyrie and KD. Because as I broached the subject yesterday, I said it sounds to me like it's a possibility that KD is just worn out. Like, he's just done with all of it, and he was waiting to see if Kyrie was going to move on or not. But then you also hear another camp that says they've talked to people that have said that KD and Kyrie, I just think that the Nets is a complete crap show, the way they've run everything and let everything get amok, that they both want to go somewhere else and play together.
It's wild.
I just know that Kyrie, no matter what, has 1 year left. And what he's done, before anybody told me the same, I feel like it was irreconcilable differences. Like, he's going to do financially what he has to do to make sure he's not walking away from that much money after he walked away from 17 or 18 a year ago. But if I'm the organization, not only did I not give you a long-term extension at the money you wanted and a max deal and all those things, but I am not in the slightest consideration for the health and safety of my franchise thinking about anything long-term with you. But Kevin Durant's wrapped up till 2026.
Yeah.
At a certain point, as much as you guys wanted to play together, we gave you the opportunity to do that. It didn't work out. If you want to place blame, fine. But, hey, KD, I got news for you. You're one of the best players on the planet. If I'm the GM, I'm telling you, you're the best player in the world. You're under contract till 2026. We get it. The Kyrie factor didn't work out. We're going to do our best to put other guys around you, but we don't have to trade you, and honestly, we don't want to.
Where do you think he ends up? Gun to your head right now, where do you think he lands?
I said it yesterday. It's just that I think Portland.
Okay.
And I think Portland because of the fact that if you're going to, again, as we said yesterday, whenever you trade a superstar, it's rare that you can come close to getting equal value in return.
Right.
Dame has wanted out of Portland for a long time. Once they traded C.J. McCollum, I think that the memo got sent loud and clear that, you know, we appreciate you, we love you, but we tried to do everything we can do, and at a certain point, we're kind of pressing the reset a little bit. I think, and Dame had said that he wanted to get to New York. He wanted to play for the Knicks. But if you can get Dame to the Big Apple in a situation where Brooklyn guarantees they're not going to suck,
yep,
and KD goes to Portland, and by the way, Portland rewrites the story of we let Kevin Durant go away so we could and not take him because we needed Greg Oden more. Now you can kind of reverse that a little bit and say, so now we got Kevin Durant. We took us a while, but we got him in Portland.
Yeah, it took him so long, he was a Sonic whenever he got drafted.
Yeah, but maybe that then entices other free agents to want to play in Portland. And at the same time, Brooklyn doesn't completely go, you know, bottom side up.
See, what's so unique about this situation of a superstar requesting a trade away from the team that currently has him under contract is that the Brooklyn Nets have zero incentive to be bad. This is something that we brought up yesterday. The Brooklyn Nets do not have their first-round pick. Well, they have the pick swaps in the odd years. They have the outright Rockets have their first-rounder in the even years. But the Nets can't afford to be bad. They can't afford to be a lottery team in which that, you know, their ball's coming up in the top three. Like, if they had the number one pick, well, that's gone. That does not belong to them. So they have to build a team that's going to at least be a playoff team, or you're losing all the draft capital. So it's not like Kevin Durant, you flip him around for a bunch of first-rounders because you do not have the incentive to be very bad. I saw the Lakers could be interested in bringing both of them, Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, but now you're talking about, like, Anthony Davis would have to be on his way out.
What are you giving up? You don't have enough to give up to get both of them. Yeah.
But, see, that would actually make sense from the Brooklyn perspective, because we talked about yesterday. Look, Brooklyn needs to be good as they possibly can be. They're going to take a step down because you're not going to replace Kevin Durant.
Right.
But the best player that you could possibly get for Kevin Durant, because yesterday we said, like, Ayton could be the best player. Lillard, I think, is a good example of that, too. I would say it's Anthony Davis.
I think you're right. If he can stay healthy, it's another if he can stay healthy kind of guy. But if he stays healthy, I mean, he could be. You could build a franchise around him because of the fact that he's that good. And that's where you don't expect to get a guy like that in return. I don't think LeBron wants to see Anthony Davis go anywhere. I know that Stephen A. and a lot of people have said, look, at a certain point, you have to do what you have to do to make sure you're accessible and available, which means get on a different workout program, get some new trainers, use some new medical technology. But you've got to make sure that you stay healthy during the season more often than not, as much as fluke injuries happen. But I think that if you look at it from a Nets perspective, I wouldn't trade them together. And if I could trade each one of them to different spots where I got at least a solid, above-average, all-star caliber NBA player in return – that's the best I could ask for, simply put, because guys that don't want to play for you have proven with the track record we've seen with James Harden and others that if they want out, there's nothing you can do to convince them to stay, and most times you get left holding the bag.
I don't see, and look, the Rockets have the rights to the Brooklyn picks all the way until the year 2027. They have, in the odd years, they have the rights to the first-round pick swap, and then in the even years, they have all of their first-rounders outright with zero protection. I mean, if it's number one pick, it's number one pick, and the Rockets are getting it. So the Nets have to build a team that's at least competitive for the playoffs. I don't believe they can potentially be a championship contender. I still think that the return of Kevin Durant, if they're seeking good players, that the return of Kyrie Irving, I still think that they could be a playoff team. But as it relates to the Houston Rockets, 2023 really doesn't matter, if we're being completely honest. Because, again, the odd years you have the pick swap, I don't imagine a situation in which the Nets are worse than the Rockets, record-wise.
Right.
So you're probably not conveying that pick swap anyways. As a Rocket fan, if you're watching this scenario play out, and of course you're rooting for the dumpster fire, like this is the first domino that needs to fall, what you're really rooting for is that Brooklyn's awful. It's just absolutely terrible the year after that, 2024, when you own their first-rounder outright.
Here's the deal with Joe Tsai. It's like what the Mets tried to do this offseason so that they could at least be on the same radar as the Yankees. The fact that the Knicks, as bad as they've been for 40-plus years, they've owned the basketball side of New York forever and a day, no matter what the Nets did, and the Nets made a finals appearance. So when you look at it, you say, look, I don't expect to win it all, but I got to do what the Knicks aren't doing. I got to make the playoffs. I got to be competitive. Last year, you can make the argument because of injuries and a toenail of Kevin Durant's. They might otherwise have won a championship or competed for it, gotten further. But at the same time, they're not going to completely implode because they can't afford to. Because
they can't.
They got to hold the stake in the stock that they already have in the city that they built up while they had these guys.
Yeah, they don't have their first. They can't be bad. They can't go through a rebuild. They can't afford to do it.
Can I just tell you something that made me cringe today, too? One of our loyals decided to text Lance this morning and said, I know it's an unpopular opinion, but is it time to kick the tires and consider Ben Simmons? No, never, and shut your whore mouth, because that is the worst and the furthest thing the Rockets should be considering at all times based on the nucleus that they have and the fact that this dude, as much as when I saw him play at LSU, I thought, well, he's got a lot of talent.
He does.
The fact that he has digressed so much offensively that he has got the fear factor every time the ball is in his hands, and the fact that he makes all these BS excuses up while he doesn't play, then says he's going to play, then he doesn't play, and all it is about, look at me, though, and look at what I'm wearing on the sideline. I don't. If I'm the owner of a team, a general manager, or affiliated with any team, I don't want him anywhere near my team.
See, I think higher of Ben Simmons than you do.
I guess.
I like Ben Simmons on the floor. I think Ben Simmons is a good player. Does he lack an offensive game? Yeah, absolutely. But he's still an 18-7-7 guy, and those don't grow on trees. Now, off the floor is where I have my biggest concerns. Oh, he's going to sit out. He's not going to play. He's not going to practice. He's a big crybaby. So that's where I have my biggest concerns. If you knew that Ben Simmons was going to eliminate all that stuff, which you can't account for, and give you the 18-7-7 and show that he can be a good NBA player, which he has shown, that intrigues me more. But the contract is like, nah, it's not even worth it. Like, what are we doing trying to, like, recycle him with a young nucleus? I think Ben Simmons can work on some teams. If you have good shooters around him, relying him on to be a scorer, I think he could be a good, like, player on a good team.
You're not trying
on the
to hide him, right. But you're trying to complement what he doesn't have in his repertoire, right? Mm-hmm. So you're right. He has to be on the right team with the right complementary star pieces so that they can kind of hide his offense and just let him take whatever he can get, which is not going to be plays called for him. It's more like putbacks and fast break finishes.
Yep.
But I think that when you look at it, this would be a different story if the Rockets had John Wall for two or three more years.
Yeah.
Because then, look, what would I rather have? Ben Simmons at his price but playing, or John Wall in beach attire collecting $80 million?
You can't put that on the books. Right. Where the Rockets are, and Rafael Stone, I think, has done a good job of positioning the Rockets to have a lot of money coming up soon with a young nucleus. So you can't abandon that. You can't give up on that. So even whereas I like Simmons as a player, you just can't do that.
You
can't do that financially.
Don't sleep on what Stone was able to do in terms of synchronizing everything, too.
Yep.
He knows after this next year's draft, he's going to be screwed for picks unless, like we say, the Nets completely implode. So he's going to have to do it through free agency. So the ideal scenario that he synchronized was right when my picks start running out, my money gets real big, so now I can do what I need to do in a different way to enhance my roster. And to him, I give him credit for that.
Yeah, and I think even the Tate contract extension syncs up with that,
too. Before he had to.
Yeah, before he had to, but I think it syncs it. So it was good to lock him up because you get him the team option for the third year, too. So it's a three-year deal. It's really 2 years plus that third year, depending on what you want to do in that spot. 1509 texting in, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. It's Brother Bear. Admittedly, I don't know much about Victor Wembanyama. I know I butchered that, but I don't care. But from what I've read, he looks like a transcendent player. This is the guy that's projected to go number one in next year's draft.
Yep.
I would be ecstatic if the Rockets drafted him with their own pick or Brooklyn's picks. I don't think Brooklyn's going to have the number one pick next year, Brother Bear. I think he's a very good player, too. He's long. He can block shots. He looks a little bit like Chet Holmgren, be honest with you.
You beat me to it. That's where I was going. Like, this is the same scenario, just a year in advance, a year forward, with another guy like Chet Holmgren.
He
looks
graceful, though. He looks a little more graceful.
I think he's a little bit more coordinated already. He's grown into his body, but he's still a project. And I think that, you know, as much as Jabari's going to need to put on some muscle and some size, Jabari's already athletic and very, very smooth the way he gets his shot off. And the fact that Jaylen came in ready to play and already was that kind of guy, too. I think that they've already kind of gotten past wherever you bring a kid like that into, to where you'd be waiting for him to catch up, and that might stunt your growth a little bit. So, yeah, it'd be a great situation to have, because much as Rocket fans might cringe at me saying this, you could get him and possibly trade him, too, or trade the pick. Trade the pick. But if you did choose to stick with them, you at least still have that nucleus that you've already put together that can continue to build and grow together.
I like him actually as a fit because, I don't know if he's going to have much of an offensive game. They say it's not bad. They say he's got decent handles, decent perimeter game. But I think he's, like, worst-case scenario Rudy Gobert because he's really long and he's got, like, a standing reach of 907.
Just don't max him out.
Yeah.
Rudy Gobert was great till you had to pay him max money.
Yeah, I think the worst-case scenario is Rudy Gobert, but I think he also has an offensive game that could be pretty good. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Would Daryl Morey pass on Harden if it meant getting Kevin Durant? Skiller B's ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Football Hall of Famer Eddie George, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Cobos Q in Edo. This is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Got some people asking us. We're broadcasting live, by the way. Cobos Q 2012 Rusk right in Edo. Great pregame, postgame spot for the Astros. They'll have the TV. They'll have the game on the TV today. Apple TV is broadcasting the game. A lot of you don't get that. They'll have it here at Cobos Q. Also, great spot whenever my Cougars are in action.
Yeah.
Football or basketball, you come out here, have a good time, take the light rail over. Don't have to worry about the parking down there. This is a great spot. Rockets, Dynamo, everything. It's in a perfect location. RJ texting in, and Jasper asked us this as well. How about getting Kevin Durant? If you're the Houston Rockets, all the draft capital you got from Brooklyn, just give it back to him, get Kevin Durant.
Well, if it was that simple and you could keep Jalen Green and you could keep Jabari Smith and you could keep, you know, Shengun and all the key draft elements that you've had in the last 2 years, that'd be fine. But that's not going to appease the Nets. And just getting their picks back is not going to be good enough for the Nets. I mean, it's a starting point, and then it's going to be, well, what's my centerpiece? You know, who am I getting back that keeps me afloat in the short term? Unless you're willing to part with one, and I'm sure that Brooklyn would start by asking for both, or at least two of the three if you want to put Shengun in there because he's made such a name for himself in a short period of time. And I don't think if you're the Rockets, that's worth it. I think that the more I thought about it after it came up kind of organically yesterday, you've already kind of gotten over too many hurdles to get back on the direction of going towards winning again. I wouldn't want to take the gamble because not just get Kevin Durant alone isn't enough. Now the veterans that just walked out the door, you need like veterans to come back in the door.
Yep.
To try and make your team better. And the West is so tough, too. I just don't know how you could do it.
You're putting it all on the line. You're putting your chips all in the middle of the table if you're doing that with zero ways to back out of it. For a guy who shows you that he's willing to leave a team whenever he wants to leave a team. And he's going to be 34 years old before the time the season starts.
And he's had injuries.
So I'm not. I wouldn't do it. And that might be an unpopular take, but I wouldn't. I like the way that the Rockets are going with this young nucleus. And look, I mean, that's a lot of assumption that Jalen Green's going to be what we expect Jalen Green to be, where he might be contending for scoring titles. We haven't even seen Jabari Smith in a Rockets uniform run up and down the floor. But I rather hitch my wagon to the rebuild that the Rockets are on than the Kevin Durant ride. I'm just not very interested in that. AR Platinum saying, happy Friday, fellas. Rockets play this right. They could be a good young team in a few years. Feels familiar to the pre-dynasty Astros. I think we still need to see more from Jalen Green and Jabari. It feels like it could potentially be that. I agree to that point, but they got to play to it, right? You got to be able to play to that level.
Love you, AR. Appreciate you listening. Here's the thing, Jeremy, what I would say about that. We talked about it yesterday. It's one thing to say you got the best available player that was available when you drafted, but it means more when there's a chemistry and there's a natural fit between the players that you're drafting. The fact that you look like all the guys and the pieces that you drafted have specific roles so that they can blend together makes so much more sense and is so much more meaningful than just saying Portland, for example. Mm-hmm. We already had one or the other. I don't know which. I assume Dame Lillard was drafted first. You already had Dame, but you took C.J. McCollum, which was Dame Light. Like he basically played the same similar position and role, and if asked to do it on a different team, he would be your Dame Lillard. So trying to get those two guys to like not only do their best but fit in together, I don't think they ever maximize their full potential because ideally both would be in a situation where they didn't have to try to play alongside and get along with
They're not accentuating each other's games.
There's not
like Jordan Pippen.
The synergy, right.
Yeah. I thought that the Jordan – like I don't think Pippen's one of the greatest 50 players
I don't
ever.
Either.
But Jordan helped him bring the most out of him, and I think Pippen did a little bit of that for Jordan too. Like I think Jordan would have been great everywhere else, but he was the perfect complement, and I think it led to more team success. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Lamont, you're in the Hive of the Killer Bees. Happy Friday, Lamont. What's up?
Ain't nothing much, Killer Bees. Say, man, you know something, you know, for the longest when I was a Rockets fan, Daryl Morey ruined that for me. And I'll be completely honest, I'm not a fan of Daryl Morey. I think that he's a – I'm not a fan of Daryl Morey. I'll leave it at that. But one thing that no one is talking about, through all of the years through my Rockets fandom, I used to ask the question why does this guy never build through the draft? And for the longest, everybody, and George, you can probably speak to this and give me some insight. But everybody used to always tell me, oh, it's Lex Alexander. It's Lex Alexander. He won't allow him to do that. And, you know, I took it. So, you know, I'm thinking, okay, well, now without Lex Alexander, he's going to be doing something different inside of Philadelphia. He's doing the same old crap in Philadelphia. So I'm like, it almost seems like Les Alexander was a whipping boy, and he was taking shots for what that bum-ass GM couldn't do in Houston. And I'll never forgive him for the way he left the Rockets. That's all I have, fellas.
Appreciate it, Lamont. Look, Les had his say on everything. And he was going to be included in everything. And so much so that if Daryl wanted a second-round pick and he knew that, say, Orlando was wanting $1 million, the first thing he did was he'd have Tad and Daryl and his business side in front of him and said, you guys all start trimming your budgets right now because I'll do the pick, you take $1 million
off. Really cost me,
that, he, like, that's how nitpicky with dollars and cents he was. But he also had a passion for the basketball side. But I think that Daryl wasn't a very patient guy. And this is now even before Daryl got the kind of contracts where he really felt like he had to live up to it on a daily basis. And he wasn't willing to wait. So he wanted a guy that was more ready to plug and play now than a guy that was being drafted on potential that could potentially help you in a couple years. And the best example that Van Gundy helped push him over the top with was Rudy Gay. Rudy Gay turned out to be a long-time above-average NBA player. But when they drafted Rudy Gay, Van Gundy said, I don't play rookies. And Daryl said, I don't think I have time to wait for Rudy Gay to develop what he could be. So they traded him for Shane Battier. Great trade for both teams.
Yeah.
But that's where it started, too, to where Daryl realized, as much as I think bad teams draft for young players and potential and play for the draft, and good teams play for using those picks as assets to be better right away.
I think Daryl started to chase his tail, if I'm being honest with you. Like,
oh, yeah.
You saw the early signs of that, but then if you look at his last 3 or 4 years with the Rockets, like I think that he was a smart GM for a good chunk of his tenure as a Rocket. And some of his best teams had players that were taken to the draft, Chandler Parsons, Clint Capella. Like, he had some hits in the draft.
Yep.
But then late in his Rocket career, it's like, okay, well, I might be getting out of here soon, or I really want a title for James Harden, so let me make a trade for Chris Paul, which I think was a fine trade. But then to flip that for Russell Westbrook. And then to flip that, well, he didn't make the John Wall trade, but he put the Rockets in a position for the John Wall trade. I felt like he started to chase his tail a bit there.
You're right. But you know what? He also had to chase his tail because of his best player. Because his best player, year after year, kept saying, I know what we need to do. We need another sidekick for me. And we need Dwight Howard. Then we need, you know, Chris Paul. Then we need Russell Westbrook. And the panic starts setting in from a general manager going, well, whether it's my fault or not, the owner loves his best player in James Harden. So if there's someone that's going to pay the price for us underperforming, it's going to be me. The pressure's on me. How the hell am I going to turn Dwight Howard into the next and then Russell Westbrook into the next or Chris Paul into the next? And he had to keep giving and giving and giving to try and get out of it. Whether it was Harden's fault or his, he would be the one that would ultimately have to pay the price for it. So that you're right. He chased his tail and he got super panicked.
Speaking of Daryl Morey, he's signing all the Rockets.
Oh, he's getting the band back together.
He's getting the band back together. Maybe D'Antoni will take over for Doc.
Daniel House got a two-year boy. That's got a two-year deal.
The Queen guy, too, signed with the Sixers. Speaking of Daryl Morey, do you think he would pass on Harden? Because he opted out. He's not under contract. If it meant getting Kevin Durant, do you think he would pull the ultimate snake move on his very own, his beloved James Harden?
This would be the ultimate, right? Because I told you about conversations that took place while I was there all the time where Dwight Howard and his security guy and Chandler Parsons would have conversations when Chandler was about to be free going, you do realize he says he loves you today, but you are the asset that will be left to get away tomorrow because he ain't paying you, and he's gonna blow smoke at you. And then and he goes, for all you people, and this was a multitude of players that said, this is why I told you J.J. Redick never decided to ultimately play here, because one day you're the apple of his eye, and the next day you're an asset. And when you're an asset, you're movable for the next flavor of the week. And I think that's where he gets caught. But the one flavor that has never run out of style, like always having vanilla at the ice cream shop, is James Harden, because Tad loves him and Daryl loves him, and they know that, you know, he's done his best from an attention-grabbing perspective when he went through the run where he was really good. But if you ultimately got James to opt out, where everybody was like, the way he played last year, he'd be stupid to opt out of $47 million guaranteed. But he's doing a favor to Daryl. The ultimate FU would be, James, we realize you did us a favor, but we didn't know Kevin Durant was going to be available. Joel Embiid really would like to play with KD, which he was out there tweeting. We may have to go, you know, if you come back on a cheap deal, we might be able to do something with you in a year or two. I mean, and then ultimately KD coming back to James Harden would be completely awkward and ugly, and I'd be all for it.
Yeah.
But I don't think that Daryl would be.
If you were Morey and you were the one pulling the strings there in Philly, would you be willing to be like, all right, James, see ya. I'm bringing Kevin Durant to team him up with Embiid.
If you really are that cold-blooded, and because
it's all about winning.
Yeah,
it's all about winning.
And Jeremy, it's even more about winning when you're being paid $12 million a year, right? Because now the fans in Philly who are ruthless are saying, yeah, I'm not going to tolerate you collecting all this cash to make us not a championship caliber team. So at a certain point, no matter, all loyalties are off. I absolutely could see Daryl doing something like that.
Yeah, I don't think he'll stab Harden in the back because it's Harden.
They said they're meeting this weekend.
But I would take Durant over Harden in a heartbeat.
But, you know, and the thing is, luckily for James, once you're signed to a new deal, you can't be traded until December the 15th.
Yeah.
So you can't turn around, sign him, and then put him in a sign-and-trade for Harden. I mean, for KD. But I don't think that there wasn't a thought process that went through Daryl's head when he was sitting at home the night that KD said he wanted out.
Trying to figure out a way. 713-780-ESPN. Deshaun Watson. The cases are over. They've heard all of the testimony from both sides. We know that the NFL wants an indefinite suspension. Is that likely? Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow. Live from Cobos Q and Edo, this is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Have you been monitoring this Deshaun Watson thing?
I know the talks are finally over after 3 days, and that the judge said she's not going to make a snap decision right after the talks, so that it may take a while. But my goodness gracious, as you guys do shots of water here.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Raul might need about 5 more of those, and he might pick up a microphone and want to join us.
I'm
joining
right now.
We're at Cobos Q. Raul, who is, of course,
the
CEO, the owner of Cobos Q.
The commander-in-chief.
No, I'm not. My wife is the CEO.
Well, but she's not here.
That's smart.
I'm just a janitor.
Right, but she's not here, so until she shows up, it's you.
My wife's my CEO as well.
Bro. She's the CEO. We're just going to leave it like that.
It's a good thing to say on air. Trust
yes.
me.
Yes.
You know we love you, but I think that the thing that people don't realize, because this is such an awesome spot and you're so close to the stadiums and everything like that, is I always think it's the story of where you came from to how you got here. The fact that you came from Atascocita, right, basically a food truck. You were setting up, what, on weekends?
No. We actually started from my backyard.
Catering and stuff?
So, no. Like, literally in my backyard, and we had a line.
You were walking in your backyard buying
yeah,
some stuff?
And we and a couple of y'all listeners are, like, my loyal customers from day one, and they'll contest us. Like,
how did they find out about it?
No, just Facebook.
Word of mouth? Okay.
You know, because I've been cooking my whole life. So, you know, I would always, when football season was over during school, everybody would come over, you know, to our house, and I would cook for everybody.
Yeah.
And, yeah, man, so literally, you know, just, I was like, I was tired of corporate, and literally lines coming out of my house, like, onto the driveway.
But your neighbors loved you.
Oh, yeah. Well, at first, when I first started doing it, we had just moved into a new house. So I thought it was, I think they thought it was a trap house. And I'm like, look, man, like, what? Like, I don't have weed that good that I'm going to have a line outside the house.
But so, no. So then you graduated to what? Because I know that didn't you have a spot that you would set up on out there?
Yeah. So I went from that, and then I pretty much, you know, told like 5 of my good friends, hey, man, I need $1,000 from each of y'all. You know, give me 6 months. I'll pay you guys back with interest. And I bought my first commercial size pit and just kind of went from there. Then we went to 1960 and, you know, little tailgate trailer, then a concession trailer. And then, you know, here we are.
And then lo and behold, you hit the big time and you took the leap of faith. And boy, oh boy, I'll tell you what, you did it right. And I remember when during the construction process, the way you took the little extra to put the better TVs and the better sound system and the better Wi-Fi. But the one thing that's all fine and dandy for people that want to watch sports, but it all comes down to is the, you know, the food. It's not bar food. It's not processed, just throw it in the microwave or a deep fryer.
Yeah.
The way you all do the food, it's like your calling card, whether you like sports or not. That's what I love.
Correct. I mean, well, that's really our, you know, quote unquote claim to fame, right, is the food.
Yep.
You know, like regardless of whatever, I mean, it all comes back to the food. And I, you know, I might be wrong. I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure like we're probably the only, if not one of the only, you know, sports bars around here that is known for our food. Like, no one goes to other sports bars around here and say, hey, let's go there to eat.
Right.
You know? So, I mean, definitely take a lot of pride in that.
Now, food in your background, you're not a culinary graduate or anything like that. How did you just get to master?
Okay. Yeah, I get it from my mom. I started cooking at 8 years old.
Wow.
So,
Clarence started eating at 9, so I mean, you guys worked it all out together.
So yeah, I actually cook better Mexican food than I do barbecue.
But, is that right?
Yeah, but barbecue is just always more fun, right?
Like, had your barbacoa last time we were out here. Oh,
the smoke! Yeah, the smoke barbacoa. Yeah,
that was amazing.
So yeah, we do a lot of I mean, I definitely have to give my mom credit. You know, I mean, she just kind of instilled that in me. every Christmas, every major holiday, yep. all the families would come over our house, and I would. That's why we give like the portions that we give, because like I don't know how to like not you know what I mean, like you're not gonna leave and say, man, I'm still hungry.
If you don't eat, they think you're offended, right? Like Correct. It yeah. offends them yeah. if you're not eating the stuff that they're cooking. For
it
you.
Shows you how proud you are of your food Correct. Too, because you don't need the bread basket or the big thing of chips. Yep. With all the different, you know, dips for it, you realize if you do the food the right way, people are leaving full, and that's what they came here for in the first place.
Correct. Well, it's kind of like, you know, even like our, like just for example, our quesadillas.
Like we do. I've never had them.
yeah. So like we do have sour cream and we have all this extra stuff. It doesn't come with it though. It's kind of like, you know, like we're gonna start doing steak night. We our grill just came in.
Oh.
We just got to get it regulated okay. and have master Oof. Plumber come in. Blah 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 blah. Yep, right. Yep. So we'll start doing steak night probably next week or the week after. But I'm not going to give you a steak and, like, just automatically give you, like, A1 sauce. Yeah. Like, it doesn't work that
right,
way. Like,
right.
like, look, man, just taste it like this. You know what I mean? Like, just take my word for it. You don't need sour cream. You don't need whatever. However, you know, I mean, if you do need all the – we have it.
What night's that steak night, by the way? We're you have an start, idea yet?
Yeah, so it's going to be on Thursdays, and we'll also have – we're working with – I think they're called Geeks Who Drink.
Oh, yeah. The-
so –
Jeremy
so
started that group.
So they'll be here like
– It's not untrue.
So it'll be like steak night slash trivia night, and we'll have like a grilled salmon, which my kids love my grilled salmon. Okay. So it'll be either steak or salmon, and we're going to add like salads to the menu, and you can top it with steak or salmon or grilled chicken. And all. I mean, once the grill goes on, you know, we'll have burgers and other
Dre's
stuff.
Dre's going to toss the salads?
Hey, look, man. I don't know that's literally between.
You know, because Dre's your corner guy. I mean, he's going to be there for you.
That is between Dre and Deshaun Watson. That has nothing to do with it.
Oh, see,
that's a professional right there. Completely. Segment started.
I was
going to
say, how do you
Deshaun?
Feel? How do you feel about grown men that don't order quesadillas? Because I mean, that's brother. Something that's just a staple.
They dry hump masseuse tables, man.
Oh wow! So, all right,
know,
there you go.
Just go like that.
On Anyways, the highway to hell.
Do you mean that the way Peter Gammons means it?
Oh, look, man.
You've said enough.
yeah.
You've done very well.
I'm done. Hey, love you
we
guys.
Appreciate you
guys
you
so
too.
Much. And
thanks for having us.
I know we're family, man.
No doubt.
So, love y'all.
No
Thank
doubt.
Y'all
Raul
so much.
Raul is the
man.
Best. And if you don't know by now, then you better ask somebody, because Cobos Q is where it's at. And it starts with just the best way you can be treated as a customer. And then it goes right to the fantastic food and all the environment. So you got to stop down and see us.
You know what's cool? I don't think I've ever told Raul this, but I grew up in Humble. I went to Humble High School. I lived in Atascocita.
Uh-huh.
So I was eating Cobos food before any idea who I was. And I had friends that talked about it all the time, which led
right?
to me trying it. So
that's why I love
talk,
the story.
You
so
talk
much.
About the story like I lived it. You know what I mean?
But you know, being friends with them on Facebook or and yep. seeing on Twitter, or just like today, putting the pictures of our food out there, and all of a sudden you don't need a business card. You don't need 30-second commercials on the broadcast. You see what that food looks like, mm-hmm. and you realize you tried it once, you will be back a million times, because they take care of you, and it is awesome.
He mentioned, Raul did, about Deshaun Watson.
He did? I didn't catch that part of it.
Yeah, it was there at the end. Anyways, watching this.
Isn't it always?
Everybody's – the case is over, right? Like, both sides have already talked about it. They've already laid out their arguments. The NFL is recommending an indefinite suspension for Deshaun, no less than a year. You've had the Deshaun side of it, which Rusty Harden's been a part of it, saying that they asked for zero games right out of the gate, to be honest, because they talked about the owners, like Kraft and Snyder, how they didn't get any games, which I find to be kind of silly. But Judge Sue L. Robinson, for multiple reports, has asked the two sides to submit written briefs in support of their respective positions by Monday, July 11th. At that point, she'll have everything she needs to make a ruling. So this could still drag out. Like, I think it could come as soon as today. I think it could also be middle of July before we see anything with what happens with Deshaun Watson's suspension.
No, I completely agree with you. I just think it's outlandish for anybody. And I understand you're paid by Deshaun Watson to do your job. But for Rusty Harden, if that's true, to have the audacity to say, he's already served enough by doing what he did last year, sitting out. He shouldn't be suspended at all. You've got just absolute delusional.
See, did you see anywhere where Harden was arguing for that, though?
I heard on from several different outlets that they thought that it was in the realm of possibilities that Deshaun's camp.
Yeah.
And that could have been Mulgetta. That could have been a lot of people.
Whatever.
Why is Mulgetta, by the way, involved in the process?
I didn't know that he was. It's the first time that I've heard
very
that.
Weird.
Yeah, that is weird. But Florio, Mike Florio, who we've had on Pro Football Talk, who is not really a reporter. He's more of like a take artist, which is fine if you believe. Like, that's fine to me if you know that about
Florio. In this case, at least he's an ex-lawyer, right? Or he is a lawyer.
Yeah, I think his takes are fine, or he presents scenarios. Like, what he proposed the other day, which wasn't like the NFL should do this. He just threw it out there as a scenario, and then people were like banging on Florio. Oh, you don't know the facts, all this stuff. But all Florio mentioned was a situation, like a scenario. He didn't even say that he would do this. And his proposal is the one that you talked about, where the games that he set out last year would be games served under the suspension, right? Even though he was getting paid, but he would have to pay it back. Texans would get the cap space back, though, which, I mean, Texans winning four games, who cares about the cap space? But it's a dangerous precedent to set in the NFL. I just don't view it as likely. Like, looking at everything and looking at the tea leaves and all of this, I really believe that we're looking at a situation where the NFL is going to suspend Deshaun Watson indefinitely. And I think it's only going to be a year, but why I think it's going to be indefinite is in case more stuff comes out.
The Ray Rice element, right?
Yep, more
the Ray
later.
Rice element where they suspended him but didn't know that there was the video. They say they didn't know that there was the video. And then when the video resurfaced, they had to revisit it and then suspend him again or fine him again. That's where you don't want to make the same mistake twice. So that's where you've got to be hyper careful about the fact that I don't think it's obviously never the precedence has never been set to ever suspend anybody indefinitely.
Yep.
But if there is a case that warrants it because of the amount of women that were involved in this, how many people were affected, the fact that it continues to have more elements pop up, that's the fact that where if you're the NFL, you can't afford to screw this up and slip up on this, so I would understand it.
See, I think it's only going to be a year, but you would throw the indefinite thing there. That way you put yourself in a spot where, okay, if anything else comes up, well, we can just slap on another year or another six games, whatever the case may be.
And I'll say this, and it would mean more if it was just Goodell's decision, but I think that they also want to do whatever they can to send a message to have it carry over into next season a little bit, because they hate the fact that the Browns, one of their own, that he goes to bat and deflects for all the time, decided to circumvent everything by only paying him $1 million in that extension for this year so that Deshaun doesn't feel the pain in the pocketbook. Deshaun should be feeling the pain everywhere, and I think that the NFL, rightfully so, is a little bit pissed off that they decided to do that.
It's still possible this isn't going to be figured out until like mid-July. It still wouldn't shock me if we hear something late this evening. Would not shock me. I mean, everything's already been talked about. The cases have already been set, and while the two sides have to submit written briefs by
but
July
11th. But the judge is on record as saying she's not, just because it's over, doesn't mean I'm not going to make the decision at the conclusion of the meeting.
But I think it still could come right before the July
4th
weekend.
You did call this, by the way.
I think it could still happen.
You called this because of the ability to make it all kind of get swept under the rug on the 4th of July weekend.
It seems like it's trending to be more mid-July, maybe later this summer. But if something comes out,
you called it.
Don't just be on the lookout. Keep your eyes peeled. 713-780-ESPN. Who is the most underrated player on the Houston Texans? Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Cobos Q and Edo. This is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, Killer Bees live at Cobos Q, 2012 Rusk, right in the heart of Edo. Astros game tonight. This is the spot to hang out pregame. This is the spot to hang out postgame. If you don't have Apple TV, it's the spot to hang out during the game. They'll be showing it here inside of Cobos Q. Come hang out. Great drinks. Obviously, the tremendous food. Great spot to watch a game and get out of the rain. It's still raining out there, which we haven't seen in quite some time. Also, as you look ahead, Rocket spot. This is a great Rocket spot.
Great
Dynamo spot. And, of course, my beloved Houston Cougars. This is a great spot before any U of H games.
Raul and I have talked about for next year getting Mario Ellie and myself out here and doing some things, too, to watch some games with some fans and doing some things like that. Look, the fact that I love is he's so dedicated to the sports fans of Houston.
Yeah, he'll turn down other cities' watch parties.
Yep,
so because he's Houston. He's loyal
H. Yep. Although Crystal Collins is here, and she is the president of the Dallas
and
Cowboys.
And she's wearing a Blue Jay. Oh, yeah. And then we also have –
well, that's Pink Valkyrie.
Pink Valkyrie wearing her Blue Jays jersey.
Which basically she never takes off.
Maybe the best team in the American League East. We're taking shots at New York.
Wow.
Today. Why wouldn't we?
Forget Mariners fans. You're going right to the jugular. Maybe the Blue Jays are the best team in the American League East. You hear that, Yankees fans, if you're still in town?
Or is it the Rays? Or is it Boston? Just saying.
She's got her jersey on her T-shirt.
3501 says Deshaun sat out because he wanted to get traded. Not the case. He even told Cully he was never playing for the Texans again before the lawsuit. See, that's talking about the Florio. Again, Florio didn't predict this. Florio didn't report this. Florio wasn't even saying that this is the what's going to happen. He presented it as a scenario of maybe what Deshaun Watson's side could argue, not that they even were. So I think you do have to throw in the fact that, look, Deshaun was eligible to play last year. And then, two, he demanded a trade and told Cully that he was not going to play for the Texans before any civil lawsuits came out against Deshaun Watson.
Jeremy, I don't think you understand. The fines have been – there was never a fine laid, and so therefore he deserved to be paid. He will not be suspended. Deshaun has done everything in his power to do what is powerful while not being powerless, while letting this to take care of itself. And now he's waiting for the judge.
I can't believe he's 80 years old.
I couldn't either. That was the most of all the details that were coming out that was just completely unbelievable to me. When they said Harden, 80, the lead attorney for Watson, I was like, wait, what? I see him like spry as all get out, yeah, running on the sidelines of Rockets, yeah, games and Cougars games.
He wears his khakis, his button up, and his New Balances, and then he winks at me as he walks by. And I didn't, I mean, 80 years old, I would be looking at him a little bit differently.
I love the fact that he takes care of Jim and Carolyn Foley. He has them sit courtside during the Rocket season.
It's cool.
You know what? More power to Rusty, but I don't even think he realized the magnitude.
You know who he's
how
real
many
tight
cases
with?
We're going to be in this thing.
Who is the Baron? David Baron.
He is tight with David Baron. When you gave him the tickets to the Cougar game, he was with David Baron walking around courtside.
They're best friends. Yeah. It's weird. It's a relationship. Like David Baron and Rusty Harden sitting in a tree. Josh in Beaumont says, aren't these sort of hearings normally kept private? It seems like we never hear anything before a suspension is announced. Well, I think they're gauging the public response before making the decision. No other reason to have everything so public
this
week.
There is a reason. The judge in this case has said, I will not be a part of a circus. If there will be no leaks. And if there are, there will be ramifications. And she has been extremely adamant in a lot of ways of being in total control of this. Good for her.
Sure.
But saying anything leaks, we got issues.
But it's also going to take her time. But it's also been public. I mean, the fact that it's going on.
Yeah.
I do agree, but we haven't seen like what's being presented.
The details is what I'm talking about.
The NFL pushing for a year-long suspension or an indefinite suspension with potentially up to a year. I think Josh and Beaumont's onto something. I think it's good PR, actually. I think you should leak some things. That way you do see the public reaction, especially something like this.
I would say this. If there's things being leaked, they better be communicating through the judge to let them know.
Sure.
You know, and both sides have to be like okay with it because otherwise – because to the point that I don't agree with, I don't think that they're waiting to judge the reaction of the fan base.
The NFL fan base?
Yeah, the NFL is concerned about the reaction, but the NFL is more concerned about their reputation, which has not looked good in terms of the Ray Rice.
I think that's kind of the same thing, though.
I don't. I think that, look, the court of public opinion has had a louder voice than ever before recently,
mm-hmm,
and I think that you can get too caught up in that. Yeah, you don't want to look bad, but you also, from a league perspective, don't want to be too lenient on a punishment and then end up facing the music of having to go back and redo it.
That's why I think it's going to be indefinite. Indefinite with the idea of a year, but it also gives you some assurances there that if anything else comes out, boom, year and a half, boom, 2 years. I think that's the way the league wants to go. And from a Houston Texan perspective, you should probably be rooting for that as well. 713-780-3776. Who's the most underrated player on the Texans?
Well, I mean, it depends on what I think or what the people that wrote the article for ESPN Plus think.
Is it one and the same?
No, because I don't look. They chose Davis Mills. I don't think it's Davis Mills. I think it could be a couple of players. I think it could be Petrie. I think it could be one of the draft picks from this year.
Ooh.
I think it could be.
I didn't think about the rookies.
Yeah, I think it could be one of the rookies because. Especially because Petrie, there are people trying to poke holes in his profile before he got drafted. You know, basically,
small. Yeah,
a little small. You know, worried about the hit factor. You know, just trying his coverage. You know,
I think he's gonna be good.
I think he's gonna be really good. And you know already how much I like all the young kids that they drafted, not named Stingley. And I think that one of those guys on defense could be the guy that, as much as it doesn't matter where they were picked. I think the linebacker from Alabama.
Harris.
You know I'm very high on him. I think Christian Harris might be the steal of this draft when all is said and done. I think he could be that good, getting them where they got him and realizing he could be a long-time, big-time, not necessarily all-pro type player, but a really solid football player for this team. I think he could be that guy.
So pick one.
I'll take Harris.
Harris, 713-780-ESPN. Who's the most underrated Texan? 713-780-3776. OG on Twitch saying Davis Mills. I think there's going to be a lot of people that say Davis Mills, and I'm excited to watch. I know that I sound more critical of Davis Mills than a lot of people. I'm not a card-carrying member of the Mills Mafia, but I am excited to see what he's going to do in his sophomore year. But I wouldn't call him the most underrated Texan because I think he's actually being rated properly, if that makes any sense. Would it? Is if I say John Grenard, is that fair? Like, because I don't think John Grenard gets the love around the league about how good that he should be. I think John Grenard's going to be a double-digit sack guy, and I think some people in Houston view that with Grenard. I think people that pay attention to the Texans, they see Grenard as like, okay, this guy's got a shot to be a double-digit sack guy. He would have been last year if he played in all 17 games. I was wondering if that was like a cheat code, though, like if Grenard is properly rated around the league. I think nationally John Grenard's an underrated football player that I'm not going to put him like in the top class of elite pass rush in the NFL, but I put him like in second or third tier. I think he's going to be a really good player, and he's still very young.
No, and I think you're right. I think the biggest factor for him is the fact that they were so bad a year ago that no one paid really true attention to some of the quality players they still did have on the roster because there weren't very many. And I think that he has a guy that performed well under very tough circumstances that now if he's surrounded by other players that make offenses have to pay more of attention to them as well, he could actually get a little bit better. I think you're on to something with that.
I think there's quite a few names on this list when you talk about it. I think Grenard is probably the one that has the best resume to this point. Davis Mills is the popular answer because he's a quarterback, and quarterbacks are always going to get more love than they should. They're always going to get more praise than they should. They're always going to get more blame than, quite frankly, that they should. The rookies, to me, are intriguing as well. We have several people texting in. Who is the most underrated Texan, in your opinion? 713-780-3776. 6133, Kenyon Green. He'll be important for our offensive line.
I thought about
line.
That, too, yeah.
Where I think Kenyon Green, like, look, you have a good interior offensive lineman. You can protect the quarterback a little bit better. Where I think he could really help you out is this running game. Last year, the Texans were dreadful in the running game. And I'm probably not as high on Marlon Mack as a lot of folks are. I like Damian Pierce, but I think it's a lot to expect Damian Pierce to be really good in year one. I think it's going to take him a little bit of time. But Kenyon Green is a guard. I think that's where you're going to see him help the most is this running game. I don't think they're going to take, like, they're not going to be top half of the league, but they're going to be better than what they were in 2021.
I think the key is the balance in the offense. Like, last year they had zero balance. They couldn't run the football.
Not at all.
And everybody knew it. So, they, you know, defensive coordinators didn't have to pay attention to it or scheme for it or really worry about it at all. And this year I think that you're right. They don't have to be in the top 10 to 15. But if they're serviceable with the running game and you have to respect it, that gives Davis Mills more opportunities, gives the offense more opportunities, and it's a better situation for Pep Hamilton and all the guys he's putting out there.
That might be the thing, too. Like, I don't expect the Texans to be top 10 in the NFL in offense. I don't expect the Texans to win 10 games and contend for a playoff spot next year. So, like, elevating the run game to, like, top 20, who cares about that? Like, elevating the run game should be so they can get the most intel and knowledge on what Davis Mills is going to be. Like, throw the numbers out. Like, the numbers next year shouldn't matter. We talk about this all the time. Who cares about the amount of wins the Texans get next year? You should be excited about the young players and seeing the growth of this team. It doesn't matter. If they win three games, it doesn't matter if they win seven games. You're watching this team for the growth and for the potential of what they can become. So, like, the running game, who cares if they finish top 20, top 25? Who cares if Marlon Mack runs for 1,000 yards or Damian Pierce is the best offensive rookie? The best part about having an adequate and respectable run game next year is so Davis Mills has a chance to showcase if he's the franchise quarterback or not.
Well, we talked about it over and over again. If you truly are evaluating the quarterback, then you have to give him every resource possible so that he can be the best quarterback he can be. If you didn't enhance the offensive line, if you didn't give him some semblance of a running game, if you didn't, you know, continue to add receivers that might be able to be effective in this system, then you weren't doing a service to your evaluation process because you weren't giving him the best chance to succeed. You don't give this guy use a third-round pick on him and then give him the starting job so that you can basically throw him to the wolves and say, hey, you know what, we just thought you were something that you weren't. So they did the right thing. They gave him the highest amount of resources you could ask for under the circumstances.
Yeah.
And you give him the best chance to succeed so you can truly evaluate who he is and what he can be for you, because at the end of the day, that's what it's all about.
And one other thing that I would tip my cap to Caserio over is the fact that you did those things, but you also didn't sell out for those things.
Right.
Because you still got Derek Stingley Jr. You still got Petrie. You still got Christian Harris as well. Yep. So I think Caserio balanced it nicely. And you can even throw Cooks and Tunsil. Keeping them around is giving you a little bit better
what
of a
general
chance
managers were interested in keeping those guys around, especially the Tunsil antics with, you know, a thumb injury, keeping him out as long as he did. They basically had to bribe him and beg him back to practice. I mean, because the team wasn't going to be very good.
And he didn't show up for the voluntaries.
Whether he rescinded it or, you know, met with him afterwards or not, the way Cooks handled the trading of Ingram. I mean, those are things that a lot of GMs, especially New England-type people coming from the Patriots, would be like, bye. We'll find someone else that can do exactly what you do.
713-780-ESPN. Who's the most underrated Texan? Also, UCLA and USC are off to the Big Ten. That seismic change in college sports.
My wife was not happy.
What it means for the rest of college athletics. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.